Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Dinner, get your chippies. It's the football ramble, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Open wide for some soccer. Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here. And let me introduce you to a nutritious bunch of chaps. Jim Campbell.
Jim.
Luke Moore.
Luke, all right.
And Pete Dolson.
At ease, everyone. At ease.
Ooh, good.
Open it wide for a real dose of soccer.
Medicine.
Right now, Roberto Martinez, not to be pronounced Martinez, said Chelsea used every trick in the book to overcome his Everton side.
Mm. Mostly a goal.
Most devastating of tricks.
Fooling
which his goalkeeper punched into the net.
What do you mean? John Terry hypnotised Tim Howard.
What do you mean by that, Roberto? Just that they scored.
But it's the only trick that really matters.
Yeah.
It's a bloody good trick. Well, who from the world of football do you think would make a good magician? Pete. No, Jim.
You looked at Jim.
You gave me the eyes, wow. But passed to Pete. It was weird. It
Drop your clothes back, would you? Don't do that again.
Never. Jim. I'm confused. Me?
No, Jim, it is
cool.
You.
Okay. I'm going to go for another Roberto. I'm going to go for Roberto Baggio.
Mm.
The great Baggio just sounds like a magician.
That's good,
it? Sort
yeah.
of like, you know, maybe Victorian era.
Didn't think
magician.
Dino.
And also, he's got that ponytail. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't have it anymore, but the beard as well. You know, sort of people that think they're a bit magic tend to have that kind of look. Mm. You can imagine him in like a burgundy waistcoat being a bit spooky.
Yeah.
Mysterious eyes. He's got mysterious
yeah.
eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's got the face of a magician.
And magical kicks, remember?
Absolutely, yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
There we go.
Roby Baggio's magical kicks.
Mm.
So,
there we go.
Very strong start.
Mm.
Very strong start. Luke, don't go for Dino Baggio.
I won't. I've gone for a slightly different angle, slightly different flavour. Is that a lot of people think that sort of flary, tricky players, a la Baggio, as Jim said, will be the best magicians. But actually, if you know anything about magic, you'll know that what magic actually takes to be effective is lots and lots of practice.
Hard work.
Gary Neville.
Yeah.
Because he would be the first to turn up at magician's training and the last to leave.
Yeah, but he would tell everybody how he did it.
At the end. At the end, yeah. Once his career's gone,
he would
course.
Talk you through it in great detail.
Well, this big magic iPad.
Right, and that's when you looked away and I put it up my sleeve. Like that,
but
you
didn't say who would make a good magician who would never give away his secrets. You just said who would make a good magician.
A great magician never reveals his secrets.
That's implied, Luke.
That's fair. I bet you say that to all the girls, Mark, isn't it?
Not all of them.
So Gary Neville is my answer. Okay.
It would have to be someone who's really good with their hands, wouldn't it? Like a goalkeeper or something.
Yeah, well, you can have your answer
or a
next,
sex
mate.
Pervert.
Marcus Hanneman looks like another magic person. Just had that little tuft of facial hair.
Yeah, that's true.
Marcus Hanneman's really, really into heavy metal.
And yes, he's got a bionic hand.
Yes.
Do you remember that one? Yeah. For very, very old... well, not old. People who listened to The Ramble for many years will remember that hoax story. Pete...
I'd go for Alan Pardew because he seems to make promising players disappear.
Seriously, Pete, that was textbook.
Devastating.
Very
that's
good.
A, that's a Twitter effect. That's a tweet, effectively, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a Twitter, guys. Yeah. See ya.
That's
a Twitter.
That's a Twitter.
I like that. That's a good answer.
Alan Pardew, eh?
Hashtag fucking, I don't know. I don't know what you put at the end of it.
If you're not sure, just
write fucking.
Recycle it.
Yeah, recycle last week's stuff.
I'd. Two people leapt to mind. Jack Warner, you know, give us that 20. I'll make that disappear. Yep.
Give me that 20. Back. I'll take the 20. Make it disappear. Congratulations, you owe me 20. That's how Jack Warner works. Isn't it?
He can make tickets and money disappear like no other.
Yeah.
Anybody from FIFA or who has worked for FIFA is probably quite good.
Robbie Earl can make Dutch women appear.
Hey, he can. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Or Mark McGee, because I'm thinking his wife might be called Debbie, or he might have a...
Wow. I mean, what? You came up with this question.
Jesus.
That's, I mean, that
why
is
why might be called Debbie.
It's before not you, even spelt the same,
before
I think.
You start, Luke, you laughed.
True, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's your
stop him from crying.
There's the problem.
It's just the manager Scotland now, lest we forget. So hopefully they'll be hoping for a few magic tricks from him.
If we can conjure up some good yeah, ideas for indeed. The Scottish national team. If you don't know who Paul Daniels is, you won't have got that, but it was a cracking joke. I think Pete Donaldson's got the point.
Hey!
What up, mate?
Yeah.
Cool
as
beans.
As he stuffs some cool beans into his
I've got work next, haven't I?
That's fine.
Don't have any time,
Luke. That's fine. Well, let's crack on then to the Premier League. We're going to start with Liverpool. They were in a great attacking form, not so defensively. 4-3 they beat Swansea. 4-3. Sturridge and Henderson scored. So did Shelvey. He did one of those apologetic celebrations.
70 appearances. Fuck off.
Yeah. He was really apologetic. And I thought, John, you've just scored an absolute worldie at the flipping, yeah, in front of in front of the cop. Like, just run around a bit, do something.
Yeah. I'll be in the cop like a greyhound. I'll be right up there.
That. I'd do a like Remy and just do a salute.
You can still do nothing way less than he did. Because he made a big show of not celebrating, almost to the point where it was a celebration.
Yeah,
an anti-celebration.
But they did applaud him, some of the Liverpool faithful, which was surprising.
I don't think it is. They like a bit of that, don't they? Well, our boys showing a bit of respect.
Well, okay, I suppose so. But he really doesn't need to, as Pete said. It's not like when Ian Rush was playing for Newcastle and he comes back and scores.
I mean, we talk about this a lot on the show, and I think really the only sort of situation where it is acceptable to do that is if you've got like a genuine affiliation for the club. Yeah. Like, you came through the youth ranks, you're from the area, and you were sold against your wishes. You didn't really want to go, but you knew maybe you had to go to financially benefit the club.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Then that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, no.
It's almost as if he was going, no, ref, chalk it off. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't thinking.
I'd like the referee to take the lead on this and go up to him and say, you're going to fucking celebrate that goal.
You should get booked for it.
Oh, you're off.
Oh, with this button, I can make the assistant referee put the flag up. Your choice.
I think you should get booked for not celebrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be excellent. Like, yeah. Get your shirt on, not interested. Yellow card.
Ref should have revolvers and they just shoot them at their feet. Yeah. And they got a dance.
And if they don't, they get a yellow. But, yeah. Oh, no, I'm out the cut funnel. Well, you should have thought of that. Yeah.
Shelvey's.
Also, you grazed my foot with a bullet.
That's not allowed.
The referee shot myself in.
Dundra Shelvey's been involved in a quarter of Swansea's goals this season, which is pretty good, isn't it?
He's done well. That was a lovely goal. But,
he's certainly also been involved in 100% of Dick Picks. On Twitter, I think. Right, for Charlton. Wow. He was at Charlton at the time, in fairness.
I don't remember this. What, he got his willy out and just went?
I think so, yeah.
Hello, world.
Oh, yeah, I think he did.
Is that the sort of thing that I need to legally check?
Probably, yeah.
I'm going to say I think he did it.
We'll tidy it up in post.
Good.
Yeah, we're in it together, mate. Yeah. So okay, you'll never be left stranded.
Just note down that time, 7:27.
All right.
Bye.
Liverpool look great going forward again. Sturridge and Henderson. In amongst all what they did.
Well, they flew out of the blocks again. I think it was 4 minutes, the first goal. The ball to Sturridge from Sterling was absolutely exquisite. Like, he's getting on that plane, isn't he, as each game goes past.
Well, I would go Liverpool heavy with a starting lineup, Jim.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. You'd have to.
I'd have Suarez.
Yeah, if you could.
In the formation. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't be able to play that with Rooney playing the Suarez role.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that, to me, that seems like the most sensible use of Rooney as well. I think that Liverpool's now scored, admittedly Manchester City got a game in hand, but Liverpool have scored more league goals than City now.
Yeah, I think they've scored 103 in all competitions.
And they've scored 70 in the league to City 69, I think. Mm. Which is obviously incredible given the amount of times we've heard how free scoring City have been this season.
Yeah, totally. Again, they conceded three at home. This is brilliant to watch.
Listen, the Premier League is a much better place with a Brendan Rodgers Liverpool side in there. They're contributing to the Premier League in a big way. I think we should be happy about that.
Contributing to football in a big way.
They are.
They are very entertaining side, though. And it is nice to see some, I mean, without being, nice to see some Englishmen among the stuff that's happening.
Absolutely.
I mean, Henderson's one of the midfielders of the season. What a goal.
Absolutely.
And the first one.
Not just his finish, but Sturridge's work to actually get the ball across to him as well. Just there's such fluidity amongst those attacking players. It's really exciting to see. He's done such a brilliant job in remodelling them in a pretty short amount of time. It's such a different style than what came before it.
They've totally got a plan as well. I mean, I just think he needs to really sort of sharpen up on the defensive side of things. But I said on Twitter yesterday, they're a joy to watch going forward. And they are a joy to watch at the back as well for completely different reasons. But as a neutral, it's amazing to see.
But do you think their defensive lackings could could stop a proper title challenge.
Yeah, but chiefly because, I mean, they certainly could, because we've seen teams in the past, if you take the lifetime of the Premier League, for example, we've seen teams in the past fall short of lifting the Premier League title through defensive problems, the most famous one being Keegan's Newcastle. Mm.
So and Chelsea are kind of playing like Manchester United, winning a lot of matches dirty.
Indeed. And that may work. But at the end of the day, if, as long as they keep winning, it doesn't matter. But the point being that if all of a sudden they lose, I mean, because Suarez hasn't scored an awful lot very recently, if they lose Sturridge to injury, then they're still going to be conceding those goals, and that's going to be a problem for them. But you look at Chelsea. If Chelsea don't score for whatever reason, they're probably still going to get a point.
Yeah.
They don't concede an awful lot.
Was it Sturridge who did that terrible celebration that I sent around a few days ago? When he was playing for Chelsea?
City and the youth team, wasn't it?
Oh, right, okay, yeah. And it was kind 14. Of like... It was a lot of
a prequel to his terrible dance celebration now.
Yeah. It's like that is the finished article, his current one. It's weird.
It was slightly more crazy and hectic, wasn't it?
Yeah. He's being electrocuted through his boots.
Well done, he's 14.
Do you think Sturridge would celebrate against Chelsea or City?
No, I reckon so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, same.
I really hope so.
He's exactly the striker Chelsea need. It's hilarious.
I know.
But another thing with Liverpool, going back to them sort of sustaining a title challenge, and obviously the weakness at the back, unless they sort it out definitively immediately, is going to be a problem. But I think the difference between them and a team like Keegan's Newcastle, as an example, is they look like they're on an adventure, those players. They are just loving their football so much. And I don't think they're putting any pressure on themselves. I think they're just enjoying each game as it comes. Like, as much as a cliche as that sounds, it looks genuinely true with them.
And it's always easier to chase a pack rather than have a 12-point lead and sustain it, like Keegan's Newcastle.
Rogers said that he said that if they were to get right up there this season, it would be a year ahead of his plan.
Yeah.
But I think really, if they can get into that top four position, they've got a really good chance of keeping Alder Suarez. They do need to address their defensive problems. I mean, if you look at, you don't want to be too harsh on them, because like even Mignolet, he's a young keeper. I think he's 24. He's been around for a while, so we think of him as being a lot older. But he's not really expected traditionally to come into his pomp for another few seasons at least. So I mean, if he can get a season of experience under his belt, I think he'll be a better keeper next year. Sarko is a bit of a dodgy one. Depends who you believe and whether he's actually good or not.
But again, it's his first season in English football, isn't it? He may yet come good. We've seen that happen so many times.
I don't know whether Sarko was so well liked at PSG because he was a local lad, and when he went back there they really loved him, or whether he was actually really good and they didn't want to see him go. I haven't seen enough of him to
know. No, I'm saying.
But he was a lot of money, and so you'd hope that he comes on. It's funny with the Daniel Agger thing, because I heard a rumour that Barcelona wanted Agger and David Luiz.
Agger rumour's been going around for a few years,
isn't it? Apparently Tata Martino didn't take either of them because one was offered to him by Sandro Rossell, one was offered to him by Zubizarreta, and he was new to the job and he didn't want to put anyone's nose out of joint, so he said no to both of them.
Okay.
I don't know if they were to sign Agger. I'm not sure whether that would be a good thing or not for Liverpool. I think it might be quite a good thing, providing they can replace him with someone good. There's a lot of good young centre-backs out there, I think, that could potentially improve Liverpool. So if they can sort that side out of it. I think Flanagan's come on well. Johnson's maybe getting past his best now, I think. That said, though, just sorry to ramble on a bit, but I don't think any of those defenders really showed themselves in glory at the weekend.
But I do get the feeling that there's going to be a lot of Premier League size, certainly in the top five spaces that, you know, what will probably make up the top five in the Premier League this year. There'll be a lot of defenders needed to be brought into the Premier League this season. Because there's a few retiring, there's a few getting shipped out as well. I don't think there's going to be enough defenders to sit everyone.
I'm here.
You're saying there's not going to be enough defenders to go around? That'd be brilliant. Imagine if every club only had like two.
There has to be a fundamental change of tactics.
That would be brilliant. And then they get all the defenders together and go, right, if you're a defender, you know, you've got to meet in a certain place, and then they get auctioned off.
Yeah. I would absolutely love it if Liverpool beat, because Liverpool's still got to play Chelsea and Man City at home this season. If they won both those games, then that would be a title.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be absolutely brilliant.
Well, it's like we said the other week, and it's been happening all season. It is really exciting times down at Anfield, and it would be phenomenal if they could actually go on and do it ahead of Manchester City and Chelsea, the big spenders, of course. Because it has been, they've spent a few quid, Liverpool have, but it is much more Rodgers coming in and the tactics of the formations and all that kind of stuff. Yes, Mourinho's...
They've got an identity, basically.
They've got an identity.
And Rodgers was in the paper this morning saying he'll never play like a Mourinho team. He thinks he feels a responsibility to Liverpool to try and entertain and stuff. Mm. Now, whether that's true or not, or it's just coincidence that his team's playing with such freedom, it's still nice to read, still nice to see. You know?
It's still like a few clean sheets, or at least a settle back four, like Chelsea have.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Brendan Rodgers, he made the people happy.
Okay. A man who put a smile on the face of all who met.
Yeah, good old Brendan. So, yes, marvellous. I mean, Swansea were unlucky. I mean, they're still down in very much the lower half of the league table.
4 points off relegation, still in trouble.
Yeah, you worry a little bit about them, but they do have enough quality, and they've got, at least they've got an identity. You look at other teams there, like Cardiff and Fulham, for example, and you just think...
Well, you don't think Swansea will go down there?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think they will.
Mm. Okay. Chelsea versus Everton, 1-0. A Howard own goal, which was credited to John Terry.
By John Terry, immediately.
Well, no, but by the BBC was...
No, but I mean the way he celebrated.
Yeah, but I don't think you can blame him for that. No, it's a last-minute winner.
No, but he really did look like he was claiming having done it. I always find it strange when players do that. I mean, I know it's fair enough, but it just looks a little jarring.
No, I'm actually going to stick up with big JT there. I don't think he did celebrate like he... I just think he was really, really pleased, and he was at the...
he's done worse. Come on.
He's done a lot worse.
History will judge him, to be
fair. On and off the pitch.
That will not even be a footnote.
I suppose it's difficult to celebrate and show that you didn't... that you're not claiming to score it. Yeah. So, yeah. I'll get off
and
your
he
back,
would have
JT.
To celebrate like John Joe Shelby did. It's a like, no, it wasn't me, but I'm still really happy.
Essentially, it's a last-minute winner to keep him at the top of the table. Yeah. The business end
you
of the season.
You know what? Actually, the more appropriate thing to do would have been to stand there in front of Tim Howard, pointing at him, going, ah! Yeah, that way we all would have known that Terry's not claiming it.
Do you remember?
It hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember, I think it was when Chelsea were playing West Ham a few years ago, and they scored a late goal anyway, whatever. And I think it was a goal, an important goal. I'm a bit sketchy on this, but the point is that they were getting, Terry and Lampard were getting pelters from West Ham fans all game. I think it was West Ham anyway, but they were getting pelters anyway. And in the Match of the Day highlights, when the goal went in, you saw Terry and Lampard go over to the home fans. And Terry was beating his chest, just going, trophies, trophies, trophies. And it just picks up on the mic, so you could see him doing it. And it was like, I remember at the time, I was being really confused, thinking, why are you saying that?
Trophies, yeah, trophies. Yeah.
Trophies, trophies.
Everything's for sale.
That is good, to be fair. Like, if he's
maybe
taken,
he was I'll asking, get my mum to get it.
He was inquiring after an engraver.
Yeah.
Maybe he wanted a beer.
you can't have a go at someone. Do you remember when Frank Lampard scored away at Anfield a number of years ago, and he was beating his chest sharing Frankie Lampard?
Yeah, I like that.
Oh.
Frankie Lampard.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's only one Frankie. No.
could be me. So Chelsea, jeez, top of the league, Pete. Top of the league.
Yeah. Oh, well done, everyone.
Marching on. Everton were unlucky. But
I thought they did quite well, especially midfield. And to be fair to Martinez, he did really sort of go for it. I think they sensed a bit of blood, and they thought that they were going to do it. And some of his substitutions from memory were quite attacking, and I applaud that.
Yeah, he's done well there. The whole of Liverpool are really doing a lot of good services to football this season. Mm. Everton, Liverpool, I think.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely, I completely agree with you. I think Everton have just shown up in the last few games. I don't think they've not been that great over the last few games, and obviously that heavy defeat to Liverpool. I think they've just come up a bit short of quality. But it's early days for them under Martinez.
Absolutely.
And as I've said 100 times before this season, the way they've taken on board Martinez's style compared to what they had before under Moyes does show that they really buy into it and they like him. And also, you cannot not like the way Martinez says squad and quality.
And okay. Oh, no, that's the other thing. But Liverpool, I mean, they've got Martinez, who's getting his style implemented at Everton, and obviously Rodgers. Liverpool could be the most attractive footballing city on the planet in the next few seasons.
They've got industry and bluster.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tranmere.
Just like the football. Yeah. Chelsea, there was reports that Didier Drogba was being lined up for a player/strikers coaching role. Mm. Which is an interesting one. Obviously, they play them this week in the Galatasaray this week. And Javier Zanetti was going to join Chelsea's player coach, but he's rubbished that report.
I would no like to see that.
No.
Would anyone like to see that? I mean, come on. He hasn't played that much this season anyway, has he, Zanetti?
No, I can imagine that when Zanetti dies, they'll take his body and just cast the statue around it and put it outside the San Siro. He's not. He's got to be there forever, surely.
I would not like to see him go anywhere else.
Yeah, don't worry, he's not going anywhere. What about Arsenal, Jim? They beat Sunderland 4-1.
Yeah, it was nice to get a good win. You would expect them to beat Sunderland at home, with all due respect to Sunderland. Pete, feel free to, not adhere to that. Giroud needed it, obviously, after a difficult week where he'd been a bit naughty. Obviously too tired to play against Bayern because of all the fun, the extramarital fun.
A couple of good finishes, two real strikers.
Yeah, absolutely. The first one in particular was a lovely move, but Riziki's goal was brilliant as well. It's good to see that Arsenal have signed him up to stay on for a bit longer. He's 33
now.
He's missed so much football, but a lot of people, myself included, really thought he was perhaps past it. When he'd initially come back, but over the past two seasons, he'd again been injured, but come back at crucial times and really given Arsenal some drive when they needed it, and the experience he has, it's just brilliant. And he sets the example for how to press in games where we need to. In the Sunderland game, I think you could see the frustration at not being able to get near Bayern was taken out on Sunderland, just because I think it's fair to say Sunderland aren't as good as Bayern. We see this so often with Arsenal. Whenever we've beaten Chelsea, actually, in recent times, it's been because we've pressed them really, really hard. And it's something that seems to sort of dip in and out of our game, and I'd like to see us do a lot more often in the bigger games. But, yeah, it was just a sign of Arsenal kind of just getting up and dusting themselves off again, which we've seen so many times this season. We've got another really difficult run coming up, and as long as we can just stay focused and think, OK, right, the last few tough runs haven't gone so well, but here's another crack at it. Let's see if we can do better this time. Yeah, it's good.
Rizzi's goal was a lovely one. A number of people tweeted me
dink
saying,
of the week.
Is he going to get the dinked award? Well, that was a dink, but it's not the dink I'm looking for.
Okay.
Because you've got a very specific. That was a high quality goal, Marcus.
It was a high quality goal, but the dink finish wasn't the best part about it. It was the build up. Mm. For me, a dink is when you have a one on one. That was kind of like he got there just before the keeper.
Do
you know what I mean? It's not like a classic dink.
Riziki being the dinker. Yeah. Had actually done a lot of work himself to then get into the dinking position. Does that not have any weight?
But the dinky was already on the floor, the goalkeeper, pretty much, was he not? The dinky was going
surely,
for the
but
ball.
You have to. He's got to be going down at least to even attempt a dink, otherwise you're not going to score.
And yeah.
It's a crazy
waste
of a dink.
He was like the creator. He was like the bloke. He was the tailor, if you will. The dinker.
I think you're looking
at me.
I think you're a bit. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I think you're being
and it is
harsh.
My award, remember?
I think you're, yeah, true. I think you're being harsh. I think he could.
It
really,
is my fictional award.
I don't think you've ever given out. From my,
he was presented with an opportunity,
yes.
And it's the only way he could score, and he showed great presence of mind to do it. I'd like to echo Jim's point about Riziki. I think he does really set a tempo for Arsenal when he plays. I'm obviously not an Arsenal fan, but when I see them, I think they look, for me at least, better with him in the team.
Yeah,
he's just so experienced, old head in his shoulders. I think the game against Sunderland is really, I don't want to take anything away from Arsenal, it's a bye.
Sleepwalk to that result.
Because you've got players in that side who obviously don't want to be suspended or injured for the cup final. Yeah. They know no one's expecting them to get anything out of the game. And really, it was a cakewalk for Arsenal. Yeah, and of course, Arsenal probably would have beaten them anyway, even if Sunderland were really at it. But it wasn't indicative of how Poirier's got them playing since he took over.
No, Virginia had a shocker in particular.
Absolutely dreadful, wasn't it?
I've seen apparently they were going to buy Draxler for €30 million, but Schalke Schalke turned them down in January transfer window. That's coming from Schalke.
Yeah, that came out a little while ago as well, and for some weirdly resurfaced today. But I mean, that's encouraging from an Arsenal point of view. Obviously, it's frustrating that we didn't get him, but the fact that we're trying to get these sort of bigger players in shows that the financial muscle goes a bit further than just getting Mesut Ozil. So that's encouraging for the summer, and sends a good message to the players at the club as well that we're going to be trying to strengthen even more.
And they got Stoke this weekend, haven't they?
We have.
Because there's that. Have you seen that flyer that a couple of naughty Stoke lads have kind of said?
Yeah, it's horrible.
About. Yeah, I saw that.
It's like,
I didn't see that.
Those monkeys have finally got their typewriter. They haven't quite got Shakespeare.
Essentially, because Aaron Ramsey put his finger to his lips doing a sort of shush sign when they played them last?
Yeah, at the Emirates.
He scored, I think. And now they've said, look, we were good. Stoke have basically, it's obviously not indicative of general Stoke fans, I'm sure, but some Stoke members of their fans, have released something saying, we were going to be nice
season.
We're not now.
It looks like such a kind of, it looks like such a sort of BNP leaflet sort of thing. The graphic design of it looks so 80s. It's so kind of like, it's horrible. Yeah. It's dirty.
They claim that it's because he keeps it going on. He's the one that keeps it being as
nasty as it is when the two when Stoke and Ramsey meet. But you know they're booing him at the Britannia because he got his leg broken and then wasn't too happy about it. That's what they seem to take issue with, that he wasn't happy with Shawcross.
The timeline broke his leg. The timeline is he got a broken leg. Okay. He's a young man. He was devastated by it. He said some things he probably shouldn't have said. I'm sure he'll admit that now. But the fact is, he got a leg broken, right? Mm. Then he was getting booed for that. Then when he scored, he went to shush the fans for booing him. They've thrown their rattle out and now done this fanzine thing. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely... It's not even merit. I know we're just discussing it, but it's not even worthy of merit. It's idiots.
But what is, though, is Dennis Bergkamp had a statue of him unveiled outside the Emirates, which is a nice thing to see.
Can there be a player around that's played for Arsenal and not had a statue?
Ian Wright.
When's Nelson Vivas getting one?
Ian Wright's not happy about it, is he?
Is he not, no?
Well, their pictures are all around the Emirates, isn't it? They've got massive pictures of pretty much everyone who played.
And the first team squad on the bridge as you go over as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oleg Luzhny?
Mm. Yeah, Luzhny will get one.
Yep, definitely, definitely.
Ian Selly?
Yeah, man on the telly.
Did you reckon they got that statue flown in?
Cardiff City were beaten 4-0 by Hull.
Mm.
Wow.
Has there ever been a team in the Premier League that wear their away kit more than Hull? I've questioned a few times. Have they changed their kit like Cardiff have? What's going on here?
I'm not making a comment on that.
Big Tommy Huddleston scored the first. Jelavic is a good striker and he did get two goals. He does miss a couple of chances, though.
It's nice to see him at least around again, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but
or in and around.
Yeah, even though he misses a couple of chances, though, the hunger is still there and he's still got... He doesn't look... Like his confidence has been affected, so he's there to pounce on them.
I think obviously a change is as good as a rest, isn't it? He's in a new environment now. He's got a lot of good players around him. Hull are having a decent season. Mm. I'm not suggesting he didn't have players around him at Everton, but he just didn't play.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you who was also a really good sign: Shane Long.
Yeah.
His link-up play is superb. He's such a good all-round striker, and he's certainly had a role to play in Jelavic scoring.
You see Miller uploaded a video clip of himself. On the field to his own Instagram account, him getting tripped up where the referee missed this trip.
Was that right?
I've never seen a footballer contravene his own TV broadcast rights. Like, technically, that's illegal.
Is it counted by his image rights, though?
I don't know. No, because if you're... Like,
no, because he's David Myler.
Indeed. Livermore played well as well. Got the fourth. According to Hull owners... Asem and Ihab Alem, Hull City might have to increase the club's season tickets by 50% if the FA don't let...
50%?
Yeah, well, if the FA don't let them rename the club Hull Tigers. This is because, apparently, at least two big sponsorship deals with global companies have been lined up for next season on the condition that the team is called Hull Tigers.
It's amazing, that, isn't it? I mean, if I buy a lottery ticket and it doesn't come in, that doesn't mean that I have to rob a bank.
It's not a perfect analogy, but I know what
I think he's talking nonsense.
Where's that sponsor come from? A tiger?
Yeah.
Like who would have it on the proviso
tiger
to upset
beer.
The whole city?
Well, this is I think he's he said, didn't he, that the reason, of course, why he wanted to call them Hull Tigers was to make them more commercially attractive. And so when people are like, no, you can't have them called the Tigers. Well, we've got a load of sponsorship deals, so you're the fans are going to pay for this.
Frosties.
Tiger beer.
S.O.
Yeah.
Tiger beer.
S.O. Brilliant.
Yeah, so it seems a bit unfair if that does happen. So we shall ponder.
It's not going to happen, Marcus.
We shall ponder indeed. Newcastle United beat Aston Villa 1-0. Thank goodness, Pete Donaldson.
Very dull match.
The best thing, though, coming out of Newcastle is the reported interest that Vince McMahon is keen in buying Newcastle United Football Club. The reason why this is definitely true is a Newcastle source told a British website that Vince McMahon has been sniffing around the club and seems keen on pursuing his interests. He sees England as an untapped market for his wrestling empire.
But it's huge here. I mean, they do tours here.
This is just a story that's been generated from, 2011.
Yeah.
It's been recycled.
Yeah, it's mad that it's come back. Mm-hmm. So the internet's kind of, I don't know, it's just eating itself.
Yeah.
And it's over.
Newcastle
United, ruined it.
Newcastle United don't need a businessman. They don't need an entertainment, head honcho. They just need an idiot. They need an idiot who likes football, and that's all they need.
You put your hat in the ring, mate.
I haven't got any money.
Pete, I saw that, I'm pretty sure I read that Mike Ashley's company's... posted quite good figures recently as well.
Yeah,
which backs up what we were talking about how you just want to keep sportsdirect.com in the news, basically. Which I've just done. Can you bleep at me saying sportsdirect.com?
Yeah. Excellent. But thank goodness they won that game. I was watching that game instead of Liverpool-Swansea.
Oh, well done.
That was annoying.
Yeah. That was Sky's choice.
No, but it was one of those ones where you watch a game and you think, I don't care who scores, somebody score. And you leap up and you...
It was almost like they were...
Just release some kind of
Sky had selected that game as some sort of punishment because they were unhappy with their viewers and subscribers. Yeah. We're not giving them Liverpool-Swansea. We're giving them Newcastle United-Aston Villa. All right? And they're going to learn their lesson.
Damn right, damn right. Good win for Norwich against Spurs, 1-0. Lovely stuff there.
Spurs were poor, I thought.
Snodgrass with a nice finish. And Manchester United beat Crystal Palace 2-0 away. Wayne Rooney scored a nice one after signing a new contract with the club, which will see him get paid around $300,000 a week. He's set to become captain next season as well and will be consulted on transfers and will be basically bigger than the club.
Is he on the board?
I think so.
didn't he last time he signed a really big deal, he scored a couple of absolute beauties and then went on quite a good run after that.
Was that against Manchester City? He scored the overhead kick.
Maybe he's just a man who likes long-term financial security.
Yeah, maybe.
Gets him going.
Within two or three seasons, he'll be agitating for a move, won't he, if the current pattern continues?
Well, it's an interesting deal, this, because it's essentially two different parts to it. So you've got, I think, really, if you're going to sort of assess what you feel about this, you've got to look at the two facets, which are the football side and the commercial side. Now, obviously, we don't know the commercial side of it well enough. I mean, they've obviously taken a considered decision that commercially he is worth that much money to them through different merchandising, that sort of different bits and pieces. The third sort of dimension to it for me is whether they've done that with a view to potentially selling him anyway, but just getting a much better price for him. Because
perhaps
for me, from footballing reasons, and we've all watched Wayne Rooney now since his debut. You know, he's one of the few players that we've known long enough. Yeah. You know, for that to be the case. There's nothing about Wayne Rooney as an athlete that says to me he is still going to be functioning at a very top level at 33 years old. So for that reason, now there have been reports that actually this £300,000 a week is a bit of a stupid figure because it depends on lots of different bits and pieces, which is fair enough. We won't know the details of that either.
Yeah, net and gross and all that.
Well, and all the image rights and the
bonuses.
But I think what we do know is there's no way, I would say with pretty good confidence, that Wayne Rooney's not going to be operating at that level for Man United at 33 when this contract expired, or even 32, because he's just not that sort of athlete.
It's not like the bosses of Manchester United aren't already quite aware of how a sports entertainment entity operates, you know what I mean? They're kind of familiar with how image rights and stuff work, so I think they're probably thought about this and thought, well, what can we get from him if he does go on? Will we still own a piece of him? Maybe sure. there's a part of that in the contract. I don't know.
But is this tying Wayne Rooney down for the rest of his best years? And so if someone comes in for him, they can sell him off for a fee.
His best years are way behind him.
Well, you could argue that, but I mean, he could have a fantastic next 3 or 4 years. He could do.
Mm. Who's a better footballer, Robin van Persie or Wayne Rooney at the moment?
But van Persie's what, 3 years older, is he?
And I would argue he's probably got still the way that he looks after himself. From what I see, you know, he didn't come off.
I know he gets injured, but
what I'm saying is that he comes off pre-season and he doesn't look like 3 pounds heavier every single week he plays.
That's the point I'm getting. I don't know how you feel about it, Marcus, but just out of interest. In 2011 and 12, when Rooney got 34 goals, can you imagine him doing that again?
No, absolutely. Has he got, 10 Premier League goals this season? Something around
well,
that.
Well, he scored 10-plus goals for 10 consecutive years or something like that. But Wayne Rooney is a very important player to Manchester United.
There's more than goals in Rooney's game,
and if they sold him, it would probably be to Chelsea, like we said the other week. He won't go to Bayern.
Is this just a piss-off Chelsea deal?
Not necessarily. I think it's to keep him at the club. You know, if he's not going to go to Barcelona or Real Madrid or Bayern Munich or PSG, they're the only clubs that realistically could afford him. None of them would want him. Chelsea have made inquiries, allegedly, to Rooney before. They cannot afford for him to go to Chelsea.
No.
They can't do that. And so they've offered him a great big deal. Yeah, I think consulting him on transfers and all that kind of stuff, I think, is a little bit over the top.
A lot's been made of that.
You've got to wonder how true that is.
Yeah, you don't know whether this whole thing about Wayne Rooney being kept across transfers, in quotes, but you don't know the details of that. I mean, that may just be something that newspapers have run with because at some point it was mentioned that he would be talked to about players that are trying to sign, which you would think is pretty standard for like a senior pro at the club.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't necessarily mean he's dictating the contracts.
And I think that would be odd, wouldn't it?
Although I would love to see that if Wayne Rooney was for some reason having to take on all the admin as well to earn that salary.
Explaining net.
You'd wonder whether... I mean, presumably Moyes and Rooney are getting on well then, because I know there was a bit of sort of acrimony when he left Everton, but you wonder whether... I'd quite like to have seen Moyes take a brave move and say, well, we're going to try you know, get another player in or something like that, you know, do something a bit different, because... Rooney, there was talk on I think it was the BBC the other day, saying, oh yeah, if Wayne Rooney breaks Bobby Charlton's scoring record, will he get like a statue? It's like, no way, the way he's acted, there's absolutely no way. The fans fans don't absolutely love him anyway because of the way he acts and what he's done in the past. You wonder whether it's a chance for him to make a real fresh break. And I know that it's easy for me to say because he goes to Chelsea, he banks 30 goals in, Chelsea win 3 titles in a row, and they go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, but I understand that. But I thought it might be a slightly braver move to let him go. For that money, I mean, 70 million over so many years, try and attract a new player to the club, freshen it up a bit, you know, give Mata room to breathe. All these things have got to be considered.
Yeah.
So to me, it just felt like a bit of a default sort of, well, not cowardly, but a less than brave move, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Let's move on to the Championship. Leicester beat Ipswich 3-0. They look good, Leicester, don't they?
Huge.
Yeah, they look very good. Very good indeed. 8 points clear. News got his 18th of the season. So get your bets in. We've said it before.
Yeah, exactly.
It is the difference. But look at Derby. They're into third, just 2 points off Burnley in second. Steve McLaren has turned that club round.
Yeah. Just going back to the Leicester thing, hasn't David Nugent scored like a ridiculous amount of goals against Ipswich? I think he scored something like 15 goals in 13 games against Ipswich. Yeah, he just punishes them.
Truly the difference.
I think he might have even scored for Pompey against Ipswich. In the FA Cup or something, maybe. Yeah. I might be making that up. But yeah, they did look really good. I mean, it's hard to see them be anything other than a Premier League team this season.
What about Derby, Jim? They're going to be a Premier League team, aren't they?
Well, it looks that way, doesn't it? They've got real momentum. It was, you know, wasn't the most sort of glamorous win, was it? Just 1-0 over Bournemouth?
But
Burnley is looking a talent as well. I mean, yeah, I hope they get up. I'm excited to see what they can do.
Burnley aren't dropping many points, are they? The big thing about that top part of the table, I almost said the good thing then, let the mask slip, is that QPR are struggling. Yeah. I've got nothing against QPR. I think they're a really good club, proper club. I've been to Loftus Road plenty of times, got a lot of time for them, but I don't like to see Redknapp do well. There's talk now that he might even be off.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Either by his own choice or not.
Well, the thing is, it's so funny how the way he manipulates it, because they're suddenly 7 points off automatic promotion.
Yeah.
Okay, they've lost 3 in a row. They haven't won for 4 or 5 games now in the league. Now all of a sudden, these pals in the press. I mean, admittedly, they've got a game in hand, but there's still 7 points automatic promotion. All of a sudden, you can see it happening like clockwork. The next phase will be when he leaves and everyone does all these articles saying it wasn't really his fault.
Yeah.
All these editorials with him. But what's happening now is all of a sudden from nowhere. Oh, no, yeah, he's got real bad problems with his knees.
Yeah, his knees are giving
and
him shit.
So he's not sure whether he wants to retire. Oh, really? What's happening is he's about to get the chop, everyone, because he's not putting... he's got the biggest squad in the world. He's got a squad the same size as every other team in the Championship put together, and he still can't buy a win. And so they're not going to get promoted automatically. He won't have the fight for the playoffs, and they're not going to go up. And with the investment they've made, that's a disaster for QPR, especially with the plans they've got long-term. Just call it as it is. It's not been good.
What I like about it is we always go on about like Harry Redknapp's friends in the press and stuff. What do you actually get out of being friends with Harry Redknapp? Because like if you think about it, like
easy quotes, isn't it?
But if you're friends with like a footballer, it's kind of like he might take you out to a party or something. Harry Redknapp, what's he going to take you fishing or something?
I think they just get such easy sort of inside information. He's always on the phone to them and stuff.
Yeah. Right, okay.
But I was going to say to you the thing that's not been made much
transfer exclusive, surely.
Yeah, well, it must be that sort of stuff. We talked about. I'm not sure we talked. About it in depth last week about the Ravel Morrison thing going to QPR alone, right? And the reasons behind that, and it's all quite legally sensitive, of course. But Allardyce did come out in his Evening Standard column last week and say, oh, you know, this wasn't true, it wouldn't do any of that sort of stuff. And whether you believe that or not, it's up to you. But what you can believe is, because it's true, West Ham couldn't even put a striker on the bench at the weekend, right? They didn't have enough strikers put on the bench, but they still loaned Maiga and Morrison.
Oh, but
did
you see what Maiga did? My God.
You said Tarat there.
Sorry, Maiga and Morrison out to QPR.
But Maiga, like, he'd rounded the goalkeeper, had a chance to to just, you know, take a bit of a touch and score into an open goal, just run it out of play.
I'm not suggesting he's a brilliant player or anything.
Oh, I know you're not. But
it's grist to the mill, isn't it?
Incredible.
They've not even got a striker on the bench.
Yeah. It's a funny one with Morrison. Mates before matches.
Not good enough, Allardyce.
Not good enough for a non-Knight of the Realm.
It's like the sort of bitter former future England managers club, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. How can we get... Yeah, I'm happy to do this, but how can we adapt it so it really scuppers Roy Hodgson as well?
Yeah.
Well, didn't I read that like West Ham are like third in the form table or something?
To be fair to Allardyce,
they've won four in a row.
He's turned it around there. But it is quite funny. You're talking about the former England managers thing, because not only is former managers, McLaren has overtaken him. Yeah. So it's a little extra.
Yeah. You can imagine Sam Allardyce, like Ravel Morrison. I mean, Ravel Morrison is a good player. Imagine if he was like 10 times better than he is now. He was like Rooney back in 2004. Mm. Yeah. And he was like the great hope for English football.
Yeah.
Allardyce would still loan him out to QPR.
Yeah.
And he still wouldn't go to the World Cup because he'd be playing in the Championship.
Yeah. There's an article in The Guardian you may want to read about that. But yeah, a good win for Charlton over QPR. They're down in the dungeons, but hopefully we like Chris Powell. Let's see Charlton stay up. In the Scottish Premier...
Wait, before you leave for Scotland, did you see the Scunthorpe keeper?
Oh, God. Yeah.
No, what was this one?
I was going to get away with that.
What happened here? They beat
Portsmouth 5-1, I believe. Yeah. And the keeper had so little to do, at one point he took a selfie with one of the crowd.
That is quite funny.
When we scored our goals, we're up yours.
Is that right?
No.
That'd be good.
Also, the famous Pompey fan did the dizzy stick, didn't he, at half time?
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Dizzy stick, I'm not joking, for about three seasons, the dizzy stick was the highlight of going in front
of the park. But the dizzy stick's quality.
He fell over without even managing to do his run up. It was incredible.
I've been doubled over in tears watching that before.
The dizzy stick's quality.
And I've been doubled over in tears watching Pompey, of course, as well, but for different reasons.
He didn't manage to kick it, did he? He sort of fell over and.
He looked really sad for a bit. It was heartbreaking, but then he was fine again.
Have you ever met him, Luke?
Who? The famous guy, John Westwood.
The Pompey fan with the cowbell and the clothes.
That wasn't him, was it?
It was him,
He's always drunk anyway. I've...
oh, libelous. Well,
Let's see if he's organised enough to sue us.
Just in case you didn't get it the first time, he's always drunk. I have a couple of... my favourite story about him is that... you used to always see him at away games and stuff, but I remember once being at Fratton Park. It wasn't when I had a season ticket, but it was when I was a bit later on, when I come back from uni or something, I was watching a game, and I was sat quite close to him. And it was around the time when Portsmouth, I think it was a season when Portsmouth got promoted, so they were doing really well, and there's quite a lot of press on them. There's a lot of press on Johnny Westwood, who's the name of the guy, because it was quite a novelty thing, right? And it got to the point where he started to massively believe his own hype. And he would be like signing autographs for other fans and stuff.
My goodness.
And this guy in front of me, he was with his son. He's about 10, maybe a bit younger. And he ran off with his program. And I think his dad thought he was going to go and get an autograph for them from a player who's warming up. But he went over to get one from John Westwood, came back, and his dad's like, "What you do that for?" And he went, "Oh, I just want to get his autograph." He said, "If you want an autograph of a fucking drunk man who stinks, come and see me next time." So there you go. That's the only anecdote I got. But he's always getting banned from like away grounds and stuff. It's a bit embarrassing, really. I think other people think all the Pompey fans love him, but I don't think that's true.
Yeah, it is true, though.
well done, Scunthorpe.
Well done, indeed. Scottish Premiership.
Jim Coulson as well, who does all the on-pitch stuff.
Yep. Scunthorpe are a good team. I'll tell you, they're doing really well.
Okay. Now, the Scottish Premiership, ready?
Yeah, all right then.
he was well dressed, that Scunthorpe bloke, wasn't he? Fraser Forster broke the Scottish League record for minutes without conceding a goal. 1,215 minutes, 13 consecutive clean sheets.
He missed this. There was a massive loop when Crosser came in it and he flapped at it. And I was thinking, he's going to lose it. He's going to lose it. It was like 10 minutes to the end. It was like, oh my God.
Oh, dear.
What's wrong with you?
Got away with it, though.
Hell of a keeper.
My goodness.
Newcastle should have got rid of him.
On the plane? Maybe.
I think so.
Ross. Put that in perspective, that's like way more than the Serie A record Sebastiano Rossi had.
Yeah.
It's like 300 minutes more or something.
Yeah, Serie A's a little bit more competitive league.
It's like a struggle in the league. It's like 24 points clear or something.
Something like that.
I heard a rumour that Ali McCoy said, I don't know what Eli worried about, we haven't conceded a top flight goal for 2 years.
Hey!
I hope that's true.
Ali.
I'm not sure if that is true, but I hope.
Whatever you think about McCoist, he'd be good for a night out.
Yeah.
And that's what football...
We've all seen Question of Sport and that Sue Barker flirtation.
There you go.
Was that one of the greatest on-screen romances in British television history?
It's like Tim and Don.
It was.
It was.
But better. But sportier.
Mulder and Scully, but with sport chat.
With trivia.
No, I won't say it.
Fucking.
But he has. Ross County 2, St Mirren 1. Mm. Oh, the buddies went down. This match was meant to be shown in its entirety after the match was played at 5:30. Obviously, that's that rule in Great Britain between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Can't show live football on a Saturday. It was meant to go out on the BBC Gaelic language channel.
BBC Alba, who most normal people will know from when you accidentally press channel up one too many times when looking for BBC One. 143 to 144. Used to be 143 used to be BBC One HD. HD fans.
All right, okay.
Probably still is, actually. If you flick it too high, get to BBC Alba.
Is that on, what's is that on going Sky on? Or Virgin Media?
Sky.
I was going to say, depending on your box.
I would expect
Believe in better.
I would expect to see those kind of channels past the babe stations, past the radio stations, sat at the back next to the channel guide.
No, it's all the BBC, brother.
Yeah.
Okay. They're all
Where's Nollywood?
Together.
I like a little bit of Nollywood.
Nollywood. You have to pay for Nollywood now.
Do you?
A lot of setups.
We still got Ben, though. BEN, that's very good.
Which one's Ben?
It's Nigerian, but I think it's more current affairs.
What I like about Nollywood is they don't change the pixelation, so it is like you're watching live footage.
Great.
Do you know what I mean by
good
that?
Good stuff. It's probably not shot on proper film.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. I like that. A bit more real life.
Anyway, BBC Britain. Alba, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this was, as I say, this match was meant to go out at 5:30, shown as live. Of course, it was played a tiny bit earlier. They had to play it after the watershed due to the constant swearing that was consistently picked up by the BBC microphones.
What's the around the match? You got any examples?
Not any examples, but I mean, I could make some up if you want.
Did he get your cheapies?
If only. There was so much swearing, it had to go out after 9 o'clock.
When there's so few people, there's 6,500 they call it a stadium as well, which I think is stretching it for 6,500.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, a stadium.
Pete, wash your mouth out. Don't be so elitist.
Big time.
I'm just saying that's around about the same attendance as Victoria Park. Not attendance, but, you know, allocation.
Having a go at the Global Energy Stadium. All players at James's Park.
Yeah, from your Sports Direct ivory tower.
I'm just saying nobody wins. What is it? The global what? The global,
global energy stadium.
The global energy stadium.
Yeah.
And it's
the FN global.
But when there's so few people in the ground compared to the big actual stadium, you can pick out everybody. Person shouts, you can really hear it.
Oh yeah, really hear it.
It's shrill.
There was an amazing a clip from obviously it was like one of those Danny Baker Fabulous World of Freak Football videos, or Own Girls and Cats or something like that. And it is one of those smaller grounds, and this bloke's about to take a free kick, just taking his time. And as clear as day, you could just say, "Get on with it, you tosser!"
I love that.
It's so good. Yeah. So good. You're starved of that in the top flight. This is Scotland's top flight. It's brilliant, people. Get involved. There's absolute hilarity.
Derek Adams, manager of Ross County, good old-fashioned Aberdeen man.
Hey.
Have a go at him. We can have a go at him next, are you?
Another good goal that.
Hands free, mate. Hands free.
Hands free Googling. Voice activated.
Google
Derek
Glass.
Adams. Yeah, so there you go. That's the Scottish Premiership.
That also reminds me of the famous treatment off the pitch. Treatment off the pitch.
Yeah, well,
new FIFA ruling. New FIFA ruling.
Yeah, that's a whole group of people.
Yeah, about five
Still
of them.
Wonderful. Still wonderful. Hearts are struggling and are going to get relegated by the looks of it. Must you know, everybody. Must you bloody know.
What's next for the Magnificent Gorgies, mate?
Getting back into the Scottish Premiership.
Yeah.
It's all about next season. Yeah. They're a club of the future, not of the present, of the future.
Am I right in saying there'll be a huge game between Hearts and Rangers next season then?
Oh, there might be, yeah. Yeah, I mean, huge game. I mean,
game.
No, it would be.
Four games, probably.
I think there would be a nostalgic, oh, we remember you guys,
yeah.
Oh, funny to meet you here, kind of thing. Yeah. And they'd go up together. That would be the...
Trade off a draw and go up together.
That would be the hope of Coisty and the boys.
You need to get your cheapies.
La Liga, quickly. Real Madrid, they won 3-0. Bale with a beauty.
He's knocked about 10 million off of the fans, like, you know, totting up his worth there, isn't he?
He is having
Brilliant.
A great time, is he not? Is he not? And so are Real Madrid. They're 3 points clear because Barcelona lost and Atletico Madrid bloody well lost as well.
Stop it, Atleti.
Well, it's happening. It's the Diego effect.
Terrible bit of offside work for the third goal, I think it was, in the Barca match. Good God.
Well, to be fair, Osasuna have been decent at home this season, but it is very, very annoying. I mean, Real Madrid marched 3 points above Barca and Atleti, and you can just see it happening, can't you?
From what I read, a few people much more well-versed in Spanish football than I were sort of anticipating that Sociedad result. It's a real Sociedad a good team, you know.
Yeah.
And my other life is working at Betfair. They were talking about how it's a really good chance for Sociedad to do a job, and it was certainly anticipated anyway by people, like I say, a lot more learned than me. It wasn't completely out of the blue, if you know.
And it's same with Osasuna beating Atletico Madrid. You know, they have been good at home this season, but it is a shame. But Atletico Madrid, I mean, are they tiring now? They play a very high pressing game.
Hang on, I'll just find out. Atletico Madrid tiring now.
Let me check on that.
Our Avenue okay. Madrid tiring now. No, it didn't work. No, it didn't work. Didn't work.
Feel free to edit that out.
Doesn't work hands free.
Do your Googling quietly like Luke does.
jealous.
Yeah.
I think it's worth saying. I think it's worth saying. Atletico had a midweek game in the San Siro.
Yeah.
You know, so it was difficult for them. They as you said, they play that high intensity game. They came out away from the San Siro with an important last minute, but late on winner. So maybe it was difficult for them to get up for that. But then they're in a title race. They should be really pushing it.
But they're not used to being up there as well. And they have got Diego. And you did say that would derail them.
I could see it coming that way. I'm not writing them off just yet because they've still got the same points as Barca. So
yeah, that's very true. In Serie A, Juve beat Torino in the Turin derby 1-0. Tevez with the only goal.
Did you see that celebration he did? Where he sort of did like a trumpet type thing.
He said that was for a music loving friend of his in the crowd.
It looked very camp,
but it was.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. But it just looked very. Like,
yeah, but they reckon it might have been goading the Torino supporters.
Well, I particularly hate trumpet.
Well, there's a something there. But Juve 9 points above Roma now. Roma do have a game in hand, but Torino haven't scored against Juve in their last 10 meetings,
right.
And they've not beaten them since 1995.
Must be annoying.
Must be very annoying. That's
football Italia days.
It is, isn't it? Blimey O'Reilly, what else has been happening?
When Roma and Juventus met each other, it was a bit sort of tit for tat, but then they got hammered, didn't they? Right? I think Juventus beat 3-0.
It's Juve's to lose, certainly. Unless Milan can go on a fabulous run, and with Terat in their side, it's all to play for. He scored again! He scored again!
And so did Rami.
Yeah. Rami scored again.
I mean, it's a scrappy goal.
Two lone superstars. Terat had a good game.
He played really well against in midweek as well, I thought. There was one point where he took on like about three players, and I was like, shoot, right in like almost the six-yard box, and I realised it was his own six-yard box. I was like...
He probably would have a go.
Shoot anyone!
He probably would. Well, he wouldn't pass it.
No. Imagine if he does go on to be like one of the best players in the world, like he's been consistently saying he has, and all those QPR and Fulham fans would just be like, "What the?"
He's like the anti-Bentner, isn't he? Did you hear what? Did you hear when Trapp scored Crudelli's commentary? I know it's always a little bit unhinged, but this is what happened.
And they goal! And they goal! And they goal! And they goal!
Somebody's granddad.
I thought he was going to do the tune of Pink Panther. Actually.
I wish he was mine. I wish he was
da-da,
mine.
Da-da, da-da.
Very good.
Yeah, so tear out there.
You should have put a bomb, one of your bomb explosions after that. That's my favourite one.
Excellent. Tear out. Maybe it could be a case that he's just not been bothered. And then he's been hanging around in the shadows waiting to be found. And then Seedorf says, look, if you come over here, you're going to have to put a shift in while I'm well up for it. You know I've got the talent, and he's away. Could be that.
It's amazing that it's been that simple.
It is, isn't it? Well, it's early days, Jim. It's early days. In Portugal, Porto lost at home for the first time in 5 years. 81 matches.
The best bit about this story is, 81 matches at home to Estoril. Yeah. The manager immediately offered his resignation. I'm sorry, I know it's not good enough.
Yeah.
Committed seppuku.
Yeah. I mean, I know that their league is a little bit more straightforward than many others, but still Sporting play there, Benfica come to town. Strange, isn't it?
To be fair, I mean, they are third in the league, so I mean, it's not the greatest of returns for them so far. But
Did you see the Hamburg-Dortmund match in Germany? I know we're probably not going to touch on Turkish fella, Kalanoglu, he smashed in a free kick from pretty much the centre circle.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, wasn't it?
No wall.
No wall. Klopp just started laughing. He's like, what do I do? What do I do? It was 92 minutes in.
I had some absolute, I'm not making no apology for this, I had some absolute geek tweet me about that with a link to the video saying, oh, do you remember in 2010 when you said free kicks from Alfred Marzo shouldn't have a wall? Well, have you seen this?
To be fair, that bent in the air like a mother. The keeper had it, but it just bent in the air at the last moment.
I felt like saying, put a compilation of 30 of them together and then we'll talk. It was the football equivalent of a lightning strike. It's not like it happens every single day.
It was like Balotelli's gone from last
week. He's been waiting 10 yards
further out.
Yeah.
As a dead ball.
Exactly.
It was ridiculous.
My goodness. My goodness. And now, what about the Euro 2000? Mm. 2016 draw.
Right, haven't we?
Yeah. I've got a bee in my bonnet about this.
You have, haven't you? Right, too easy. So
there's 53 teams in this draw.
Yeah.
Right.
England have had a favourable one.
Is it now 52 teams in the tournament?
Exactly. But what I wanted to say was, there's 53 teams in the draw, right? Now, of course, we all know, anyone who's ever watched a minute of football will know that the following teams are never going to qualify for this tournament, right? Mm. San Marino, Lithuania, Kazakhstan, Andorra.
Scotland.
Hang on, let me just make a serious point. Andorra, Luxembourg, right, Gibraltar, I'll come on to them in a minute.
Faroe Islands.
Liechtenstein, Faroe Islands,
Isle of
Malta are never going to qualify.
Yeah.
So that's nine of them. So 53 minus 9 is 44. There's 24 teams in the fucking tournament. 60% of these teams who have got any realistic chance they're going to go through are going to qualify. It's completely pointless. You might as well just say, look, who fancies it? Who fancies playing in the summer tournament? And we'll do it that way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then you've not got all these crazy qualifications all throughout the 2 years. You can do it in one summer. You can play fucking three games a day and everyone can have a go. You might as well do that. It's ridiculous. And Platini should be ashamed of himself. 24 teams in the Euros and what has been up until now, which I'm sure we'll all agree in this room, the most entertaining international tournament around.
Absolutely.
Because there's no fat that has to be trimmed off, there's no dead rubbers, you know that you've got to win games, and it makes for the best football, you know. 16 teams, just lean as you like it, you know, it's really good, and they've ruined that now.
Yeah.
Platini's a man who will never be ashamed of anything he
does. Exactly.
The other option that's often spoken about is putting those teams in their own group and having the winner.
I think they should do that.
I think it makes more
sense. I think
sense.
It's often talked about on this show, nowhere else.
No, I've heard that elsewhere. Another thing about it is I'm annoyed even thinking about those boring qualifiers when the World Cup hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Just even hearing about it, oh god, that happens again.
It's more the fact they're trying to bring the magic of the FA Cup back in the Euros. It's really weird. Anyone can have a go.
I don't want to get into the politics of it too much, but Gibraltar, who have been allowed into the qualification, they're not a country, right? That, and whether the politics of that aside, they're not at the moment. They're not an independent territory. So they're
the Faroe Islands aren't, though, are they?
I'm not sure.
I think they're under Danish.
My main point, though, as pointed out to me by Craig Hargrave.
Maybe they're not about Faroe Islands, so please don't bother tweeting me.
Friend of mine, Craig Hargrave, said Gibraltar played Hibs reserves a couple of years ago and got beat 3-1. Right? Hibs.
Yeah. Danny Higginbottom's retired now, so he's not going
to
be part of it.
Would you not quite like to see Gibraltar versus Spain in the group stage? Be interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, they're going to play Germany. They'll get a point off Scotland.
How would it
they're
be?
they're going to play Germany.
It's great news for Scotland.
The guy was really emotional when the manager of Gibraltar, I forget his name, he was like, oh, I couldn't believe we got Scotland in there. I was absolutely loving it.
And
I
think you know the manager of Gibraltar's name. Put yourself an expert.
The assistant manager, I think, is a Scotsman, so he'll have the inside track on Mark.
With the greatest respect to Gibraltar, and, you know, fine if they're identified by UEFA and stuff.
If I hear that sentence one more time.
With the greatest respect to you, fuck off.
With the greatest respect to Gibraltar.
No, but because in theory, I'm pleased for new teams to be coming into the process. What Jim touched on is correct, though. I mean, you've got to put these teams in some sort of pre-group because they get to win games, they get to play competitive football, they get to earn the right to be in the qualification.
They don't have to play Hibs.
The reserves.
Hibs will be up for it.
Yeah. I'd like to say that Northern Ireland have got a chance here.
Well, the greatest respect to Northern Ireland.
No, I think they have. Well, they're in with the Faroes, so they should beat them. But Greece, Hungary, Romania, Finland, and Northern Ireland will be going for, you know, two out of those five teams. I think the Northern Irish have got a chance of qualifying.
Mm. Mm. Well, it makes it more interesting in that sense, Marcus, at least, but at great
everyone's
cost.
Got a chance of qualifying.
Let everyone
That's
have a
my
go.
Point. Yeah. Portugal and Denmark together again. Tell them it's not fixed. They're together every time.
It's the first time in a while that England...
Yeah, the Catalans involved. The Atlantis people. The people who, I don't know, people live in the clouds.
The Cornish.
The Cornish.
Yeah. Put Monaco in. Is that a country or not?
No.
Bloody area would be up for it.
Guernsey.
Yeah. Yeah, all them.
Although they've got a bit of fixture congestion, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Yeah. Before we go to Pete's game, quickly to Brazil. Rivaldo and Rivaldo Jr. finally played together for Mogi Mirim.
Yay.
The match was a Sao Paulo State League match, and it was played in the stadium which Mogi Mirim played, and it's named after Rivaldo's father.
Oh.
How'd they get on?
Don't know. Oh, no, it was 4-2. I think they won 4-2.
Okay.
If they didn't, don't bother tweeting me. this isn't about the result, clearly.
Yeah.
and if somebody scored a dink, great. So yeah, Rivaldo Junior and Romildo Ferreira, the grandfather. So a family affair at Romongi
it's
Miriam.
It's a family affair.
That's what we like. Pete's game, please.
Yes, it's time for Pete's game. The clue's coming from a man by the name of Stephen Tucker. Thank you, Stephen Tucker. He does go for a name, but he says let's call it Sweet Cuckoo to Rain.
I don't understand that.
I don't understand either. No. He's gone for another one. Or Holding Out for a Year. Oh.
Yeah,
he's named after song titles rather than game show titles, isn't he?
You've still let him on the show.
Yeah, never mind. The clues are good. I was born in February the 8th, 1966, in the village of something Paul near Plovdiv, Bulgaria. The town later took my name in my honour.
Stop.
Go on, Luke.
Is it Hristo Stoichkov?
Hristo
Stoichkov. Yeah! We were all thinking it. We just got there first.
Stoichkov.
Steve Tucker, yeah. You can put clues in whenever you want.
Yeah.
I was actually on his date of birth.
I was going to say Lechkov, actually.
I'll still get people tweeting saying they got it before me.
So it would have literally been... It would have gone in the first round, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah.
So what were these good clues?
My name is Hristo Stoichkov.
Bulgarian
player who's born in the 60s. What's going to be Lechkov or Stoichkov?
I was given a lifelong ban from football for fighting in a Bulgarian cup match in 1985.
Well, I think we'd all have guessed that was him if we hadn't previously known.
In 2003, after conceding a goal while playing in a friendly match for DC United against college team American University, I stamped on a freshman midfielder's leg, causing a compound double fracture.
Cool.
That's funny.
There's a fact that wasn't in the D1's Hall of Fame speller.
Yeah.
It never happened.
You didn't do a deep Google.
Allegedly.
Amazing.
Wow.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to fill that gap with some more correspondence than I was planning on, wasn't I?
It's a little story. I was at the match in clue number 5. He did it on purpose, according to him.
All right. Cheers, Steve. Cheers, Steve Tucker.
No old man runs that far, that fast, at a kid half his age with his boot out on accident. The sound was horrendous. People were physically ill on the sidelines. The punishment was minimal. 2 matches. And
2 matches?
When was that?
Ray Hudson called it a rash tackle. Bullshit. It cost a tackler £2,000 and the kid has a something career.
When was that?
No, never mind.
That might have happened after the window.
I remember it happening. It was late on. Yeah, I remember
Stephen
it.
I. Tucker. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Sit.
Correspondence, please.
Besmirching a good man's career.
Correspondence, you guys can get involved with this if you like. Don't have to, but you can if you want. Your own decisions. Question of the week. Which hardline methods do you think Felix Magath has introduced at Fulham so far? first reply I got straight away, within like a second, from M. DeVito was death. Oh dear. Stone Gold from through Twitter comes through with cross country runs to away games.
Yeah.
Could work.
Good.
One for you, Edgy. Matthew Green says players not performing given a £1,000 fine and or being sent to live in the sea.
Fair enough. I'm getting a lot of people tweeting me with twats on trains.
Oh hello. Oh, that's never happened before. I was doing that earlier because of the Siri.
Pete, it has happened before.
Yeah. It hasn't happened before.
You're a
happened to Adebayor. Was it Adebayor?
It was Adebayor.
There you go.
God, yeah, lots of people tweeting me about twats on trains taking up unnecessary space. It's good. We need to start a revolution, people.
I think you have, mate.
Yeah, this is just the beginning.
Yeah, indeed.
Move over, dickhead, if you are that person.
Certainly the big revolution story of the week.
Indeed. I caught myself doing it last week and I moved over just because of that gym story.
Good, exactly. If I've made one person less of a dickhead, I'm happy. Sorry, Luke.
That's
all right. I was just going to say, Matthew, that you want to be more target with that. They're probably going to be sent to live in the Thames.
Yeah,
because Craven Cottage is right on the 10, so it'd be more convenient for them.
Yeah, or you'd be dead in minutes, wouldn't you?
Joel Gleacher says, making them listen to Football Weekly twice a week, hashtag harsh. Wouldn't wish that on anyone. Will Donovan says, he hasn't done anything hardline yet because he knows that the fear and the waiting is much more powerful.
Yes.
I'm not going to be... That scared me, Will, to be honest. I don't know what you're planning, but I'm not sure I want to be there. Jason Nolte on the Twitter. I heard he's basing their training loosely around the TV show Gladiators, but none of the easy events.
Oh, right.
I'd like to know what you think the easy events are. The hard ones are definitely the one, the gauntlet. We had to run through.
The eliminator thing.
Anything with the Travelator, that was a bit of a
travelator. Yeah,
but do you remember Gauntlet? We had to run through that sort of almost half pipe.
Yeah.
All the gladiators with those big
pyramids. Oh, goodness, yeah. What was the one that was a big pyramid that looked really dangerous?
I think it was called Pyramid.
Okay, Pyramid there.
Yeah, that was
like, it was like a live action Q-Bert.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yes, that's good.
We should go down here to the Fulham training ground and they're playing like Hanging Tough. Yeah. They're hanging from
that would be excellent.
John Fashnum and Ulrika Johnson waiting to greet you.
Just imagine you go to Craven Cottage and the teams come out and all of a sudden you see every single Fulham player hanging from some like contraption by his hands in formation, the ball on the centre circle. And McGatt just nodding.
Be brilliant. Perhaps that's like how they should get into the training ground. Just have that last eliminator section. You can't even get in until you complete that.
over a pit of snakes.
Yeah. I reckon he sort of like got one of those cryogenic chambers that Sam was really pleased with when he came to. I think he brought them to West Ham, didn't he? Where you jump in, but if you jumped in for like a minute, you'd die. But if you jumped in for 20 seconds, you'd be okay and your muscles would feel better. But I just think he snapped the buttons off.
I think they had those. I'm pretty sure they had this sort of chamber thing that I saw when I had a little tour of Villa Park once on press day. It was when Martin O'Neill was manager. And it was like, it was clearly some sort of really punishing thing. Where it looked to me
was
like
it
might have
been the ice bath.
Yeah, but didn't it have a sign that's saying if you don't do this after the game, you have to come to training like an hour early or something like that?
Yeah.
Instead.
I think it was operated by Richard O'Brien or something. It was very dangerous.
Mumsy! Anyway, yeah, Shane Wrynn comes through on the Facebook and says, zero oxygen training sessions. It may kill the players, but for 50 grand a week, players should be able to survive without oxygen.
Jim agrees.
And Chris Barber via Facebook also, only one nap during training. Not hardline per se, but this is Fulham, and all impossible journeys must start with a single step. And I'll finish off via the Twitter with this from Matty Tate, who says, very poignantly and very philosophically, life without Philippe Senderos may be the hardest thing of all. It's like we can all get behind.
Bless him.
Felix Magath does have a very friendly face, doesn't he?
It's quite a round head. Misleading.
Yeah.
And he wears like quite sort of trendy geek chic glasses.
Yeah, he
makes
does.
You think, hey, I'm down with the kids. I'm a bit like Jurgen Klopp.
Uh-huh. Except I'm Satan.
Yeah. And I hate you.
Hey, even the Teletubby
we've
baby
never met. We have now. Oh, excellent stuff. Well, there we go. That's it, isn't it? The end of the Football Ramble. We've made it, and so have you. Well done. If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the Twitter is @footballramble, and of course, the website is thefootballramble.com.
Yes, we got some football to talk about on Absolute Radio. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to have live and exclusive commentary from Stoke versus Arsenal, Jim Proudfoot and Clark Carlisle. In that commentary box, Russ Williams and Tony D'Arrigo, T-Dog, as I call him, will be joined by Reverend and the Makers.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, still find them.
Still find them.
They're still knocking about.
Still around.
Yeah.
Talking about
just less and less people. Yeah,
that's right.
Stop slagging off Reverend and the Makers.
I will if I want.
They were the heavyweight champion of the world or something.
Yeah.
There you go. Pete, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Luke.
I could have been a contender. I could have been a someone. That's them, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's right.
See you later.
Jim. And
what a shout. Good Lord. The one day I bring in pre-recorded music. You should be ashamed of yourself.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.